I'm Steve Martin. Welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. Our guest today, Stillhouse Junkies, the entire band, all three of them. On One Connection, we had a good time chatting. As I told you at the beginning of the show, they have a brand new album, Small Towns, on Dark Shadow Recording. We're going to start off with Colorado Bound. All the songs that are played on this portion of the program, by the way, are picked by the artist, and we place them in where we think it's appropriate. The first song that Stillhouse Junkies wanted to play as we begin our journey into Small Towns is Colorado Bound. Thank you so much for tuning in. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a great new song from a band that I'm quite fond of. You just heard Colorado Bound from Stillhouse Junkies, their new album, Small Towns, which is on Dark Shadow. And it just so happens I have on the phone the entire band. This works great. I have, Alyssa Wolf.
Yes, hello.
Cody Tennant, is that how it's pronounced, Cody?
Yeah.
All right. And Fred, thanks. And Fred, I can go two ways on this. I can go Cossack or I can go Kosick.
Kozak,
close enough.
Second.
All right. Okay, all right.
The latter,
okay. And I love this band. I it's funny, I have to tell the story. I mentioned to them off. I don't like to make these interviews about me, but in the pre-COVID days of Grey Fox, which goes back a few years, this was a morning. You know, it was after a long night of people jamming and playing all night and all the music up on the stages. I'm just kind of stumbling through this grassed VIP parking area, and I hear this great music, and I think, this is not a leftover sound from last night. These aren't people who haven't found their way back to wherever they're supposed to be. And in between the cars was the Stillhouse Junkies, and I thought, wow, what a great sound. So I know I came over and I talked to you a little bit, and yes. I think we might have said, hey, let's do a radio show. So here we are, just a few, 5-6 years later, we're actually doing that.
Yeah, man, we remember it fondly, for sure.
It was great. It was great. And then this last year at Grey Fox, I want to tell the audiences, too, just to relate some of this. When the Stillhouse Junkies were performing at Grey Fox this year, which would be 2022, this last summer, and every time I saw the band, just for the people listening, if you've not been there, there are several different stages, and they have canopies because, you know, in case it's nasty weather or whatever. Well, but when the Stillhouse Junkies were playing at one of the stages, there were people outside of the canopy, of the protective area of the canopy. Now, it wasn't raining, but I think still they would have been there. So you pull in, everything is packed. When the Stillhouse Junkies were playing at Grey Fox, whatever stage, it was packed beyond the perimeter of the canopy that protects the stage and the people there. And I absolutely loved it. You guys play so well together, and this is a great album, Small Town, just great.
Thank you, man.
Okay, that's the end of the interview. See you later. I don't mean to do that. So
standard puff piece.
That's right.
How much did we pay for that? That was great.
Well, what you paid for, and I haven't tried this yet, on the Small Towns album, which we are ostensibly to talk about, and we will. We'll talk about the music in the band. I've never had one of these yet. It's an unbreakable compact disc. And as soon as we're finished with this conversation, I'm going out in the driveway and I'm going to test it out because I've been waiting for an unbreakable compact disc.
There you go.
And it's guaranteed on the cover of Small Towns. It's unbreakable compact disc. I thought, we're going to find out.
It's like a little Easter egg from our designer from a bygone era. When they switched over to. To vinyl, I think it was
an early
marketing ploy. Yeah. Vinyl was unbreakable.
That's right. So when we're done here, I didn't want to do it till we were finished, but all kidding aside, well, what a great, and you know, I think of, and I don't like to pigeonhole, and I don't mean to do that, and this show is open to so many great musicians and types of music that fit under my broad purview of what I like. The music is kind of like, there's a bluesy, there's a Texas swing, there's a funky sound. But it's your sound. Like all the songs on this album, there's 12 of them. All of them, except for one, originates from the band.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I need to back up a little bit and figure out why did I see you so many years ago in a parking lot, and how did you get together before that? And and so let's talk a little bit about Small Towns, the album. I want to ask you about a couple of songs on it.
Excellent.
Yeah, I guess, so you wanted to hear a little bit about our background.
Yes, I do. I want to know how you got together, your musical background.
It's interesting that you bring in the first time we met at Grey Fox, too, because that will tie in pretty nicely to kind of our band background. Great. But, you know, long story short, I think Fred Fred can kind of speak to the beginning of the band.
Yeah, I started this just as a fun project, playing at a distillery in Durango in the corner of this tasting room, and with a couple of other musicians. These guys weren't involved in the earliest iteration, and then the band kind of changed over time and settled into this trio, and we started to get out and about more. And I think when we saw you at Grey Fox, it's worth noting that was kind of an inflection point for the band.
Really?
We had driven cross country, no gigs on the way because we didn't have anybody booking for us and didn't, have any connections really. We just drove from Colorado to New York State, played a free set at Grey Fox and drove back. So,
really?
So that was kind of one of our first appearances at that kind of serious festival. You saw us, warming up for our Creekside stage.
No kidding.
Yeah, man, that was it. That was like a really pivotal moment for us.
I think that was the first time we'd been used to the Mississippi as a band, too. Made it out. Just for Grey Fox. That was the only thing we played on that.
That's a tour.
It was just an out and back.
That's dedication.
Very long out and back.
No kidding. Yeah, really. Nothing in between. No, nothing in between. Wow, that's dedication. That's dedication.
Yeah. So, to kind of catch folks up, too.
Yeah, sure.
After that, later that year, we did have our first kind of national tour that we had put together ourselves. And then while we were on the road, I think we played like 25 shows or something in 30 days or something like that, and made it all the way up to like Portland, Maine. But when we were out on that, we did find a booking agent, and things started to kind of fall into place. And But then COVID happened and everyone was kind of off for a while. But this last year has been the busiest we've had, and it really goes along nicely with the release of Small Towns, too, man. And we're really excited now to be with Dark Shadow Recording and to work with Steven and Yanomojin, and it's been really fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you sound so great. I compare this to seeing you in that infancy stage. I can't remember and can't recollect and make distinctions, but this is such a great sound. And you were live at Grey Fox this year. You were just so great. Everything just melded together in the vocals and the playing and instrument. I thought, wow, this is just a wonderful sound. I just love it.
Thank you. That was a highlight of the year. Grey Fox has taken really good care of us, and we were blown away by the response and turnout. We didn't know what to expect. It was the first time back from COVID, and there was a cool energy, and that was really a pretty special. We were there for the whole festival. We stayed around. We left that weekend open so we could just hang out.
It's a great place just to hang around.
Yep.
Well, and honestly, I think we hit our first set was Thursday.
It was like 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
At 2:45.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
We pulled up and we're like, oh man, pulling an afternoon set on a Thursday. I don't know if anyone will be there, but we're gonna have fun. It's gonna be great. It's not as hot as it was 2 years ago.
No.
But like you mentioned, man, the tent was packed and we were like beside ourselves with the support, and it's one of the reasons we love Grey Fox for sure.
Well, I was able to wedge my way in a little bit, and I'm taller than most of the crowd. I'm not taller than Fred, but I'm able to look over the crowd and I could see in. And I just thought, I just love this sound. Alyssa, you list yourself as. You're listed as a fiddle player and a vocalist and other things, but I think somewhere you're a violin player.
Yeah, you are right.
Why? Go ahead.
I grew up playing classical music, and although I don't play classical music anymore, I will never probably be able to get the classical player out of me, so it makes me sort of a unique collaboration, or what's I don't know what the word is.
Amalgamation.
Classical / fiddle / a lot of other sort of spastic.
Well, yeah, Alyssa, Alyssa studied some Grappelli. You were into jazz for a while. You were into some Celtic too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've like dappled into all of the styles and flavors. I just love picking up little pieces of everything.
That comes through, and that's it. So I heard, did I hear Stefan Grappelli? Did I hear, what was it that you mentioned? Not you, but the other voice that came in, whereas you studied or what you studied.
Some Celtic music, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I could tell from, and I'm not that smart of a person, but I could tell from the way you hold the bow, and I could also tell from the intonation that you get, which is so clean. And then as I listen to this album, Small Towns, the little things that you do in behind, I'm thinking, this is somebody, not that there can't be a fiddle player that can do this, but I just felt like it was so easy for you to fill in with different things I haven't heard before on fiddle. And the sound is so clean and perfect. I'm thinking, that's a trained couple of hands right there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, a lot of time and tears and sweat and probably a little bit of blood when I was younger.
Yeah.
Brought me to where I am, especially with that bow hold. That took a
lot. Yeah, it's a real distinctive thing, and it works so well. The tune we played, Colorado Bound, to open up, and then I wanted to catch up with the band a little bit. Colorado Bound, but this album is so good. And I mentioned off the air that there are songs that are great songs. They're all great, but some of them are kind of like, well, there's ghosts around the bend, there's dead people over there, there's a town full of influenza, but then Colorado Bound, and then I'll say El Camino, kind of brings the whole everything back up again. Colorado Bound, what we played is according to what we said off the air, a real story. It just absolutely tells a story again. I love it. Cody, go ahead.
Yeah, that's family lore. That's Kurzak family lore.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
My grandpa Al, my dad grew up in northern Minnesota on the Iron Range. My grandfather in the mid-40s took a road trip out to Southern California from Minnesota to, I think he was looking for work in an armament factory to avoid being drafted, to avoid being sent overseas. And he took the family Ford and drove it all the way out there, but he was a pretty frugal man, didn't have a lot to spend on the trip, and he figured out that his gas mileage was the best at 35 miles an hour, so he drove all the way to California from Minnesota, a feat that I don't think you could repeat in 2022 without probably getting pulled over at some point.
I don't think so.
He pulled it off in the 1940-something family Ford, and the rest is history.
In third gear. How do you do that? Anyway, it's a great song. I'm glad we started off with it. You say that's one of the singles that has been released already off of the album. Is that accurate?
Yep.
Okay. It's a great song. We're going to lead up.
We released that back in early May as the first single.
Okay.
Three that we put out.
Okay.
There's a video for that, too.
Right? Oh, there is?
If our listeners want us to see what we look like, they can go on YouTube and find that. They just search for Silas Junkies Colorado Bound. We shot a video in the studio at Dark Shadow World Headquarters.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good to know. I like to have people who listened and go back and find their own other bits of, to connect with of what's going on with the art. So that's a good news. So there are. I wasn't kidding. There are songs in here about I was skipped to the last song at the end, Haskell Town, by the way, which is, I didn't think you would make up the story, but Haskell Town at the end that's a pretty gruesome event. I mean, as far as the way, and it's accurate. I mean, I looked it up. I would say I looked it up. Really, what I did was, now this is going to mess up because I asked Alexa, and if Alexa hears her name, no, she's on. Okay, so we'll try not to have it talk. But I went, that wasn't the extent of my research is, you know, I won't say the name again because it'll start talking, but tell me about Haskell Town and the influenza. And so this is just I did not know this story.
Yeah, I didn't either. And, you know, it was like, I wrote, this is Cody, by the way. Yeah, I wrote Haskell Town back during like the summer of 2020. So it was peak depression mode for musicians all over. And I just spent an afternoon on Wikipedia reading about the 1918 pandemic and stumbled across that theory that's pretty accepted in kind of modern infectious disease study that what they believe actually happened is that the 18 pandemic started at Fort Riley in Kansas and then was spread to Europe when the U.S. entered World War One. So, you know, pretty crazy thing about, and at the time it was like very topical for us, and I was kind of working on a solo project at the time too, so that song was on a solo banjo album I released.
Oh, nice.
In like spring of 21, I believe. But okay. Yeah, I'm really glad that the band got it and that we are doing it and it's on this record, because the band arrangement is really awesome, and that really goes to show too how our music can evolve. You know, if you were to listen to the solo version of that tune it's quite a bit different than the band version, you know, and it's a kind of cool glimpse into how our songs can evolve when we get all three of us working on it together. So,
Cody,
thank you. Glad that you like it.
Yeah, Cody, if I did some research beyond just yelling across the room at my device here, how would I find that? Is it something I can get my hands on? Was the album released in 2021?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I have a website.
Okay, do that.
Tim.com that you can find it on, and I will ship it to you personally. And while you're there, you can hop over to the Sellouts Junkies website and order your own copy of Small Towns, too. And we'll ship them out together.
I've got Small Towns, dude. That's what I'm looking at right here.
That's how I know
that the CD is unbreakable.
A bit of an indication of Cody's hipster credentials. He released it only on cassette.
Oh,
But it's on all the streaming platforms.
Okay, I want to hear it.
Check it out.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it. So I'll do that. I'll find a way to catch hold of it.
It's on Spotify. You can just stream it anywhere you stream music.
Okay. You're going to introduce in a bit. I don't want to go there just yet. But as I look at the songs and I kind of get a feel for them, one of my favorite tunes is Evergreen. And I don't know if that's because it starts off with the vocals as it comes in. It's that I have a star by that means that's what I happen to like today on my piece of paper as a favorite. Not that I don't like all of them, but Evergreen has a different start off than maybe the rest of them do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a song that I wrote after playing a show in Evergreen, Colorado, and promising the crowd that I would write a song about the town, and being reminded of that promise later and wanting to make good on it in case we ever played there again.
You thought they would come with like torches and what stuff if you didn't have like a Frankenstein.
Our next Evergreen appearance, which has yet to happen.
You're ready. Oh, by the way, Haskelltown, we were talking about that, Cody. It reminds me of the opening images of The Stand, Stephen King, as far as this tiny little thing out in the middle of nowhere, and a guy busts out, and all of a sudden, whatever Captain Trips is in that novel spreads around the world. But I maybe that's where that came from. I don't know. I'm sure.
Well, thanks. Thank you, man. That means a lot.
It kind of sounds like that. And I will have you introduce Ridgeway. So another song that you wrote for a town.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, this album kind of started to become, originally it was going to be an EP, and then it morphed into a full-length album because we kind of just kept writing songs that were appropriate for the overall theme. But this one specifically is kind of inspired by my personal love of Star Trek, and it was a couple Next Generation episodes, and it basically, though, is a fictional story of a sickness in Ridgeway, Colorado, which we coincidentally played a show in last night, and it's about some cowboys that are trying to get some medicine for the town, and they are unknowingly abducted by aliens, and then the aliens start to feel real guilty about what they've done to these primitive people, so they transport them back in time and drop them off where they found them. And the cowboys are none the wiser, but they are a little suspicious that something's going on. But that's the gist of the story of the song. But,
yeah, I mean, it's a great. There's a real galloping pace to it. Maybe that's the Colorado part of what you guys bring to the music. But there's definitely like a galloping pace to Moonrise Over Ridgeway.
Is the cool groove that I think Fred really came up with it was like a mix of Fred and our producer Steven Mogen that really kind of helped morph the rhythm of the song into what it is on the record. Which is really great, and I love how it came out.
Well, and the tune right after that, I'm going to come back to you and let someone introduce that particular tune. But right after that, on the lineup on the album is Over the Pass. And this you can tell about that. It's a great song. I don't mean just to focus on the historical or the descriptions of the songs as far as the story they tell. They're all great music, but Over the Pass again makes me think that the band does have some Western connection. Not just the fact that the first time you were east of Mississippi was that time I saw you at Grey Fox, but it does seem to be like you're really rooted in some Western. That's where you live. That's where you're from.
Yeah.
Well, it's a cool landscape, and I had just moved to Durango from Boston I'm a New Englander.
West Boston. West Boston.
Moved out here about 6 years ago and had been trying to write music for some time and never got anywhere with it. And something about moving here just kind of uncorked things and let me start digging into writing some new songs. And Over the Past is one of the early ones, but I think just being in this landscape and being kind of in perpetual awe of everything around. I mean, when you move, you know, if you come out to the West from New England, the most mundane stuff, you know, jumps out to you in a way that it wouldn't for someone local. I mean, I was looking like, man, there's a cactus. Can you believe that? Like, there's a freaking cactus right there on the ground. People are like, oh, yeah, there's a cactus. But, you know, everything is kind of exotic, and that definitely, I think, I didn't set out to try to write songs about the area, but that was what was, you know, occupying my thoughts at the time, and it's a pretty inspiring place in a lot of ways. Durango's got a lot of kind of cool history and old mining town, and there's all kinds of old rundown, you know, mining buildings in the woods that you can easily walk up and check out, and it's, you know, there's a lot of history kind of evident all around, and it was seemed like a natural step to just try to capture some of that. You know, songs, River of the Lost Souls is another one that's very much a Durango area kind of song. Half Pound of Silver.
Half Pound of Silver is directly under that mining aspect you talked about, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all of that is, and it's very recent past. I mean, if you go to a town like Silverton, it's really not hard to picture it as a mining outpost. You know, it hasn't really changed all that much.
They're active mines.
You know, still have claims, and people still, you know, are still digging around trying to find silver, and you know, it's still
By the way, you don't have to be from Boston to be shocked by what is out west. Because I've driven when I was younger days, we would get in the car and drive. I've driven across the country 3 times, and it absolutely blows your mind. I'm from Kentucky. I'm from just south of Cincinnati, where I've always lived, the northern part of Kentucky. But yeah, once you get out past the Great Plains states, when they really are plain, and then you start getting into where you can see the Rockies and things happen out there, it's remarkable. It seems to me then, so your songs come from either things you observe or stories that you've heard of, or except for the one, I mean, you borrowed from Fleetwood Mac on one, but is that kind of what the source of your songs are now? Things that let's say you see them as a scenery issue, or you hear the story of some towns that are related to where you are. Does that seem to be comfortable for you to where you generate songs?
Yeah, man, I think so. And I think the thing about the three of us too is we all are really interested in using metaphor more than just like literal songs too. So even like, you know, the songs that I've written that are like historical fiction or historical nonfiction or whatever may or may not, you know, have really been inspired by super personal things for me, you know what I mean? But I like to try to find other ways to convey like a personal feeling or a personal story into something that's maybe just like, sometimes more interesting or just more relatable too, you know?
And I think it's worth pointing out too that we are all from small towns and have spent most of our lives in places like Durango or even smaller. In my case, you know, Salisbury, Connecticut is about 1,000, population 1,000. And, you know, those towns.
I've been to Salisbury, Connecticut.
You know, it's easy to capture those stories, and that imagery is very potent. And I think just kind of part of who we all are.
I think that makes sense to me. One of your songs on the towns is you do reference in the description that all of us are just small town folks, and then you describe the song. But before I forget, I want to talk about El Camino, Alyssa, which I think which is a song that it does mean a lot. It's great. Okay, it's about an El Camino, which is, for the listeners who don't recall, was like a Chevelle, and the back of it was cut to be like a little truck. It was kind of like a really, if you got a hot one, you had a hot car to drive. It happened to have a truck bed on it. So El Camino, it helps when you get old. Like me, I can remember these things. So El Camino is a tune that you borrowed Becky Buller to play fiddle with you also. But El Camino, I have an idea about how it relates to me instead of just being that specific story about a car. But tell me a little bit about El Camino, because I want to talk to you about it.
Yeah, I mean, that one was inspired initially. A friend of mine who has a deep love for El Caminos got me thinking about it, and I just started thinking about what a unique, silly car they are, and kind of came up with this story of an El Camino, a person in their El Camino and the journey they're on, and they end up, you know, picking the El Camino up in Vermont and dropping it off in Telluride, Colorado, which I thought was, you know, in the small town theme, of course, yeah. But it's just like, it's, you know, it was really inspired by just kind of like enjoying the little things that, you know, when you need a lift in life, like just go enjoy something sweet. And that song came together heavily with Becky's help, actually, because I had reached out to her during COVID, and we did some songwriting sessions together, and she actually helped me a little bit on those lyrics, and she inspired me to get the adrenaline and gasoline lyric in there. So it has some pep in it, and, you know, you can tell it's influenced by Becky too, and that was partially why we were really insistent on having her play some twin fiddle on it, because it was like, oh, this is, you know, if we're going to have one guest on this album, it's going to be Becky.
Perfect.
For
it's
sure.
A perfect one. It's a perfect one. And if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to the entire band of Stillhouse Junkies, Alyssa Wolf, Cody Tennant, and Fred Kozak. Kozak. All right. It's the long O. I have to draw a line over that O. Okay. So El Camino then is, yes, it's about a vehicle and it's a neat story and everything, but even in the liner notes, it's like it's a spontaneous event that you don't have to plan, but that you get joy from, and you come back and recall the fact that you did something sort of spontaneous. Let's say in this case, it was buying a car and driving somewhere and winding up in Telluride, according to the lyrics of this one. But so that's an important thing to, and I like the point. I like the message of that song. It's a great song. Again, I seem to be focusing on the story, but I can tell everybody listening, the music is just fantastic for three people and Becky on that song. The band plays at a level that is just I love everything about it. I mean, you're multi instrumentalists and you all share in the vocals, but the band music is so great. But on El Camino, I do think of things. I thought of many things that I thought were kind of spontaneous.
The melody of that song, you know, it's kind of exciting, and it does make you think about, like, joyful, kind of carefree actions. And I hope people can listen to that and be like, man, I'm going to, if it's not an El Camino, you know, maybe go, like, get on a pair of skis and go skiing for the day or something, or get on a bike or,
my,
I don't know. Go ahead. Exciting.
Well, that one was like, that one very, very, very nearly was a single too. Like, we were all super down with that one being a single, and it's one of our favorites for sure.
The my El Camino was not a car. It was, I'll just tell this personal story real quickly, the reason I made identify with it. So I finished my first semester of law school, and I don't know my grades. I'm absolutely exhausted. All I have is a refund check from IRS. So I go out to a little guitar shop, and I had seen Leo Kottke on TV. So I buy, I don't know. You know what? I'll tell you the label. The label says Aspen. I have no idea where it was made. I buy a 12-string guitar because I saw Leo Kottke, and I'm going to do that. Well, I can't do that. I can't do that. But I had a blast with it, and it was something I had not planned when I left. When I left that day to drive around, I had not planned to buy a 12-string guitar, and I wound up buying it, and I still have it. And, you know, you get a slide and you have a great time playing that stuff. It's not like a car, but still, that was something I had not planned. I just went out and I thought, you know what?
I mean, that's exactly the theme. Like, in the lyrics, ponied up a stack of 20s. I mean, you just, you've got some extra cash and you're like, I'm going to go do this thing.
That's exactly right. And I enjoyed the heck out of it. I don't play it that much anymore, but I had a great time with it. Listen, let's do then. I've been teasing at this intro into Moonrise Over Ridgeway. We did play one cut at the beginning of Colorado Bound, so we've talked about this a little bit. Whoever wants to can make the intro, and then I'll drop in Moonrise Over Ridgeway. We'll play that, and I'll come back and talk to you. So somebody, one of you three, draw a straw and tell me who's going to do the intro for this.
I'll do it, I guess. Yeah.
Go.
So here we go. Off our new record, Small Towns, here's Moonrise Over Ridgeway.
Oh, yeah. We'll be back in just a second. So there, the audience heard the second cut, Moonrise Over Ridgeway, which we've discussed a lot, and I wanted to have an intro from the band. We're talking with every member of Stillhouse Junkie, and by the way, the sound is very good on my end. I appreciate the work that you've done to do this so that I can have all three members of the band talk about
that. Yeah.
Of course.
It's great. You'd be surprised how many times I don't get a good connection. It just happens to be where people are. But you've done this right. very well, and I appreciate that a lot.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem.
The one tune, all these tunes originate within the band, except for the one from Fleetwood Mac. And I want you to tell me about the process of selecting that tune for this album.
Well, I think when early conversations about the record and as we were piecing it together and figuring out how many songs we're going to do, we had talked about having a cover. We are, you know, primarily an original band, but we have always had fun picking out covers because I think our format as an acoustic trio, you know, when you play, you know, you try to cover like, you know, we've covered some, you know, Asia, you know, like Heat of the Moment, and we've covered, you know, other...
Wait a minute, back.
Very far from string band, like, it takes a little bit of creativity, and so we were looking for something that we could put our own spin on. You know, we don't want to cover something if we're not going to kind of add something to it or do a different thing with it, so that was the idea.
Okay, now let's back up to where you're covering Asia, because you tried to slip that past me, but I'm thinking, how does this work?
Well, do you remember, Steve, I don't know if you remember, at Grey Fox, at our Emerging Artists set in 2019, it was the encore we played, and I fully forgot the lyrics, and we just sang Heat of the Moment chorus
over and over.
It was like...
It
was
mild heat stroke.
Yeah, it was like 105 degrees.
It was. That was the hot one. That was the incredibly hot one. I remember that one now.
It was brutally hot.
Right? Yeah.
I, as a Southwestern native, literally had no idea that New York State could get that depressively hot. It was a rude awakening for me.
Yeah. It was challenging.
Were you guys there when the rain came? As the Beatles?
We were.
like a foot of it was like
of irony.
Yeah, like a foot of rain, and it was just, and people were sliding down the thing like Woodstock, and I'm thinking, this is a field that's plowed by machinery. You don't know what's in that mud that you're sliding through.
Yeah.
And they were just like, yeah, man, we're just sliding. Anyway,
that's why we all love bluegrass festivals.
That's right. Okay, well that's good. Back to the point of how you choose this song from Fleetwood Mac. And I think we're going to introduce that one as we're leaving, but I love the process within a band of how you choose a song that's not, especially in this case, it's Stillhouse Junkies, that you do originate so much of your stuff. How do you choose a cover for an album release?
We just sort of threw together a list of anything we could think of that felt like it fit the theme of the album, because that was sort of the first piece.
And we knew that we didn't want to do a cover that we are already kind of known for doing. We thought it would be fun to surprise our diehard fans that know the covers that we play already. So
okay,
we started from scratch, yeah.
And we just kind of all looked at the list and narrowed it down to a few, and from that we picked, you know, what we thought was going to be, what we all felt was the best fit, and that we could kind of see ourselves. You know, it's a fun tune because I think the original is like 2 minutes and
2:17.
17 seconds. It's really short. It's really only guitar. It's just Lindsey Buckingham playing guitar, you know, playing his kind of signature.
Who is a great, by the way, great
finger style.
He's a great guitar player. I don't know that people appreciate it. I'm not that big of a fan of Fleetwood Mac. I like those. But a guitar player is Lindsey. He doesn't get the credit for his skill as a player. I think he's a remarkable player.
He's incredible. And it's just a cool little nugget of a song. It's really kind of atypical of that record in a lot of ways. It feels like its own thing, and something about it kind of drew us all in that direction. And then we obviously had to go to work and figure out how to make it our own thing, and we put kind of different groove on it. You know, it doesn't have bass on it, so we had to figure out what the bass is going to do. But we had some fun, and we're stoked on the way it turned out.
It's great.
It was surprisingly tricky too. You know, you listen to it and it initially you're like, all right, this seems like a pretty straightforward, simple song. Here's sort of a catchy lick. And when we got into it, it actually was very challenging to come up with a full band, unique version of it. But we're really excited about how it came out.
It kind of slapped us around a little bit, that song, because we barely got it into shape enough to record.
Really?
To be totally honest, I think we were all shocked when I think we got it on like the third take in studio, and we were like, "Whoa!"
Oh, nice.
After that, man, like we were really kind of shy about playing it live because for whatever reason, it ended up being like a really tricky song.
Yeah.
But no, we love playing it now, and it's super fun, and we're glad it's in the repertoire.
I like it. And when I say I'm not a fan, I just, at the time of Fleetwood Mac, I wasn't listening to rock or pop music on the radio.
But man, Rumors is like, that record.
I don't know. I got to get it. I have to get it. I know it's still out there. I was, the time that came out, I was listening more to jazz and bluegrass and stuff like that. So
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that either.
No. And I don't mean to say I was looking down on Fleetwood Mac, but in fact, I was looking down on Fleetwood Mac that period. So, you know, everybody, I don't know why we go through that phase, and we should never do it where we think what I like is so much better quality than that. And it's not true.
Right.
It isn't true. And then when I realized what he was doing, and I'm talking about Lindsey Buckingham, just a great, and the Jeepers Criminy, they had great success, and they had a lot of great songs. So I'm,
yeah, they did just fine for themselves.
They did.
Well, and I would say to folks who haven't tried it, if you have a decent pair of speakers or set of headphones, you know, that album is just a spectacularly well-recorded, well-mastered,
I agree,
collection of songs, and highly well worth lying, just plopping down on the couch and spinning it front to back.
I agree. I agree with you on that, and I will do that. I don't have the vinyl, but I like the compact disc, because you know why? You can't break them. They're unbreakable. They're unbreakable. And they're unbreakable. So all right. So let me. There must be a website where people can find this wonderful album, Small Towns. There must be a website where they can find out where you're going to be. If something comes up, so let's make sure we mention that website. We know Dark Shadow Recordings is, and that's where Becky is more often than not. I know she records with them. So we got the Dark Shadow, but where people find out about Stillhouse Junkies and how they can, there must be a way they can purchase through you. There must be a way they can find out where you're going to be and what you're up to.
Yeah, the best place is our website, which is stillhousejunkies.com. We have all of our merch up there, so you can order the new CD and we'll ship it out for you. And
great.
Then it has all of our tour dates too. And just for following us, you know, Instagram and Facebook is really helpful. We put up a lot of really entertaining posts, but also it's a great way to just know when we're in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And if folks, there are previews of every song, you know, I think 20-second previews, something on the website, but wherever folks stream music, they can find us on all the major streaming sites.
And if folks are into vinyl, which you mentioned just a second ago about Fleetwood Mac, but we are releasing Small Towns on vinyl too.
Oh, nice.
And,
okay.
We just, Dark Shadow, got the test pressings a couple weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
And hoping to have a manufacturing delivery date projection soon, but folks just stay tuned for that. But vinyl is coming.
And we want to say, as a proviso, those are breakable, but they're worth getting. But the CD is not breakable. So I assume when you mail out,
it's scratchable.
They're scratchable. But I figure the CD, when they go out, you just like stick a stamp on it and say, get out there in the mail. You can't be, you just got to stamp it and then scribble on it, and there it goes. It's done breakable.
No, the vinyl we have to hand deliver.
All right.
This not is, very cost effective.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. Well, I enjoy this music so much, and I'm going to finish up here with Stillhouse Junkies, the entire band. Alyssa, Cody, and Fred, and Small Towns. It's a wonderful, wonderful collection of music. It's not like anything you've ever heard, but it's as good as anything you've ever heard. It might be better than a lot of things you've heard. It's just everything fit. Your trio is so tight now.
Thank you, man.
It's almost like you're one. Oh, you know, when I saw you this year at Gray Fox, when the crowd was beyond the canopy, you were playing an extended, I don't know if that was the first cut, but it kind of came into a jam, and it was much, much longer than I think. And I don't remember what that was. And I may even ask you, Alyssa, at Crossing Paths at lunchtime what it was. And you may have told me, and I don't remember at all, but you were kind of playing a longer.
Maybe Haskell Town or something. We do stretch out a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially when the crowd is there.
That was a great crowd.
We're also big fans of coming out and just playing for 15 minutes straight before we address anyone.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Well,
yeah,
we
like the good,
just like the strong entrance.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do then. I'm going to let you guys go. We've talked about Never Going Back Again, but somebody do an intro to that, and then I'll let you go, and we'll catch up with you down the road. Do that. We'll play that for the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, and then we're finished.
Well, hey, Steve, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're really grateful.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the great music and making time for this. So let's do that intro to the last song we're going to play. The three singles that have been released. This is the other one. Do that. We'll drop that in, and then I'll say goodbye to you.
Perfect. All right, everybody. This is Never Going Back Again off of our album Small Towns
by Stillhouse Junkies. All right, man. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you, guys.
Stay safe. Bye.
Take care, man.